In the vast, overcrowded forest of politics, there's an overpopulation of rhinos, and we are the exterminators. This is What's Happening Idaho.
What's Happening Idaho.
Idaho's conservative voice. If it's happening on the right, we're talking about it. And if it's happening on the left, we're laughing about it. Welcome to What's Happening Idaho. And now your hosts, Josh and Kirsten.
Dolphin stew. Dolphin gumbo. Steamed dolphin. Dried dolphin.
Dolphin kebabs.
Dolphin, dolphin kebab. Well, you could just use the same spear you used to kill the dolphin and then put the dolphin right on.
I love dolphins.
Yeah. Well, Willie D uses a patented poison that causes an epileptic seizure, thus helping the dolphins die in a more peaceful manner.
Nice. That's terrible. That's awful. Use a club. Go after them like you did in the seals and just the good old-fashioned way. Just club them. Is this What's Happening Idaho or is this Red Wave Radio?
No. Oh, no,
okay,
no, no,
I'm
no.
confused.
We did Red Wave Radio 1 week. We were asked to.
It sounded great. It sounded better than it normally does.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, it actually had a pulse. There were people live in a studio together. Like, they actually cared.
Yeah. You know what was interesting about it, too, though, is, and this is why I prefer the podcast world, is I was trying to set a timer, right? And usually when we do the podcast, it's just free flowing. We just do what we want. But with that, it was one of those things where every segment was over my 13 minute, 20 second mark. So I had to go in and clip and clean it up and remove.
Tammy, what he's talking about is time. Now, there's this thing called a clock. It was invented by the Aztecs or the Indians,
Timex?
Whatever, one of the colored people. Anyway, so there was a sun, there was a thing. Anyway, so people at the top of the hour, that's when it starts. And then they're in 60-second increments. It goes from there,
that is
which is
so
why we were supposed to be here a quarter after 10, but Her Highness wasn't able to make it because she had to figure out which hat she was going to put on. Because when one's getting ready in the backseat of a stranger's car, you only have so much.
How did you know?
Oh, wow.
The cutest.
Hey, you know what? You know what?
Sweetest.
You know what this is. I'm so glad you get to be one of the last people to see me alive. Because when I leave here, she's going to drive her car right up my rear.
And you actually have a record of the last few minutes of your life being recorded.
Yeah,
that's the best
part. Forever in history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome back to the podcast. We are excited to have you here. As you kind of heard, we've been joking around a little bit, having a little bit of fun, which is cool because usually we go through our regular spiel and then we introduce our guests and they have to sit here awkwardly. With this man, this guy is no stranger to utilizing a microphone and letting people hear his voice. In studio with us today, we have Representative and Senator-elect, almost, Tammy Nichols. We have my co-host, Kirsten Lucas.
Hey.
She said hey. And we are joined with our guest, Nate Shellman.
Hi.
Nate, how are you?
You don't care.
You know, you should know this being involved in media. Mm-hmm. I have to at least ask.
No, you don't.
No?
No, you don't have to. Do you really care how I'm doing? No, see, look, you blank stare. So, by the way, that's a crutch. And it's one of those, we all steal. Bill Handel, if you ever listen to Handel on the Law, says it actually all the time. He was one of the first people I heard to say it. And it was just one of those things that was cool to me. It was just like, oh, wow, wait, you don't care. Don't ask me how I'm doing. Just tell me what's going on. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you want to say. You don't care how I'm doing because you know what? I actually woke up and I was pretty down today because something entered my mind. See, you already don't care. You've already glossed over.
You know, it's funny. I've actually heard you say that on the radio when people are like, oh, how are you, Nate? And you're like,
my elbow itches.
Or you could do like Dave Ramsey. I mean, he says better than I deserve, right?
You know, I say that sometimes and people are like, God. They go, oh, that's great. And I'm like, yeah, it is. It is great.
Everybody's got their tagline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have an original one.
Me neither.
But we do have a very cool sponsor, which we've talked about, which we'll actually, we were talking about putting on our Patreon behind the paywall, but we'll actually play it on this episode because it was just too good not to. Well, we have a lot to talk about today. Of course, A couple things we want to touch on, really why we have you here, Nate, is we want our listeners to get to know you if they haven't listened to your radio program.
Because we have a lot of new people.
Yeah, we have a lot of new people who moved from California and other places.
Can you let somebody else talk for once?
Absolutely.
Representative, senator, whoever, whatever, you're full of yourself.
You call me whatever.
Wow.
You know, when she actually co-hosts, there's... I do.
You let her co-host?
I've let her fill in quite a few times for Kirsten.
I have. It's been a fun experience.
Dude, you're playing with fire.
Well, the nice thing about it is usually I talk a lot, right? Kirsten can attest to that. Tammy, I don't have to worry about it. I can go to the bathroom. I can go fill
up my
car with gas.
You can take a call. Yes.
I actually took a call one time.
Yes, you did. Yep. Yep.
Walked right out.
I had it all under control.
Fantastic.
It was all good. I think it was one of my friends, though, that was on our show. All right.
Yeah.
Show.
We're going to retell the whole story.
Yeah. So it was an emergency call. It wasn't where I was just like, I'm going to go.
It was an important call.
It was a very important call. So,
by the way, I actually have no idea why I'm here.
Well, you're here for a couple reasons. First off, we like your show. We like you. We want to get you in here. We also want to get your perspective on radio and media and the direction it's heading and where it's currently at. I also want to have just kind of your opinion on a couple things that have happened, because there's a few big things that have happened. So,
I think that came up with one of our last, with the guest that we had, Josh Phillips from Epic Times. We started talking about media and where his thoughts were on where media is going and what's happening. And so I think we decided we'd like to get a local perspective on Idaho media.
Mm.
And
Brian
where you
Holmes
see
wasn't
things.
Available, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we could have reached out. We tried.
So media, actually answer the question or try to define the words, because, you know, people use words and, you know, I'm interested to know what those words mean to them. And I know it sounds like a stupid question to ask, but Josh, I'll start with you Representative, you think about your answer as well. When somebody says media, how do you internalize it? How do you define that? I mean, don't give me the Webster's thing. You know, you know, what does that mean in your application?
Well, in today's world, right?
Yes.
It's completely different than what the perspective of what media was in the past.
Right.
When I think of media, I think of anything where somebody has a platform to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, we have it now to where there's people on TikTok who are the media.
Is
right?
Media, yes.
Yeah. So, like, for instance, what's happening in North Idaho, we have Erin Barnard, who is the co-host with Matt Edwards up there. She does the KC Spectator, and she does a phenomenal job, and she's actually a trusted source of media in Kootenai County.
Okay. So you're right. Media is anything. This podcast, media.
Right.
My radio show, media. TV, media. You know, it's all me. Sorry. Representative, you have anything to...
You want my thoughts?
Oh
thank you. No, when I think of media, I think about reporting information without bias. That's what I think media is supposed to be, is to report. I mean, everybody's going to put in their spin. I get that, or something. But to allow those that are listening or reading to come up with their own conclusions based on the information that's been given to them.
And I would say that is a historical definition, because the whole without bias part is assumed, because that's the way it used to be. And
right.
And we romanticized that once upon a time. It's like, well, hey, you know, we used to just have reporters and they would just tell us what was going on, and they wouldn't include their thoughts or their, you know, their bias. But the billboard is also media, and the billboard can have bias, and the sign and the bumper sticker, because we are inundated with, and by the way, whoever comes up with this number, I don't know how scientific it is, but when you think about it, the more and more we've all looked at our phones at some way, shape, or form within the past 5 minutes, we're inundated with over 100 to 1,000 commercial messages every half hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a lot.
In the form of the 900 I play during my show every 10 minutes. Your fantastic sponsors that you have here on this program, to the bumper sticker, to everything else. So to assume that all those have no bias or are not supposed to have a bias, I would think that would be a wrong assumption on the consumer, on the viewer, the listener, whomever it is, on the customer. Everybody has a bias, and even Cronkite had a bias. Mm-hmm. But so some of that's romanticized. So where it was, I think a lot of people remember it a certain way, but that may not have been the way it was, because we all remember nothing tasted better than mom's apple pie, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, because we didn't want to tell mom that, you know, Sherry's down the street actually had a really good apple pie. We didn't want to say that to mom. But so I digress. I think there is some, I think there's some difference of opinion when it comes to how much bias any outlet is able to have, because the sports guy always had a bias, right? During the 6 o'clock news, the sports guy always had a bias. Today, take a look around. There's only one station in town that does sports.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
And
so
it's all changed.
Yes.
Well, and I think, you know, doesn't it also make a difference on, there's a difference between paid information that is being put out, like you were saying, a billboard, right? That's paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between that and then just reporting the facts, right? There should be. I mean, bias is going to creep in regardless. There's going to be some form of it. But I think, you know, in the way back when time period, they tried to keep that information as subtle as they possibly could. At least that's how it came across. When they were just reporting the news, the information, the things that were happening, the bank robber, I mean, there was information that was not put in there because either it didn't really have much to do with that, or people weren't going to care, or it really didn't change the concept of the story.
And it's funny you use that example, because that is, I don't want to say you're wrong, because depending on what the story is,
sure.
Right? But even then, there was more agreements between government, whether it be state, local, even federal, to a degree, with the networks. And you say bank robber. Well, listen, there's a person who sits in an office who wears a suit, and when they hear that their news station is about to cover a bank robbery, their first thought is, wait a second, that bank spends so many thousands of dollars here with our station. We need to make them look good. We have an obligation to them since they are our customer. So I didn't know a lot of that when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8, the Dukes of Hazzard and all that stuff. But, you know, when, you know, gosh, eventually we get to figure out how things work. I don't know how much of a non-bias there is, or where the bias comes from.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm biased. You're biased.
Oh, very.
She's biased. Everybody in this room is biased.
Sure.
So is my bias because somebody's paying me, or is my bias because somebody has something on me and they're just going to strong arm me to believe what I want to, or, hey, they promised me something, even, you know, did they promise me money, power, influence, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, where the bias is coming from is one of the hardest thing to put my finger on.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helped or not.
Yeah, it did. It actually did, because you have this different perspective, and it does add a lot of clarity. I think where Representative Nichols is coming from is oftentimes with how the media portrays it is, hey, we've got 20 shows on our network and 15 of them are opinion shows, right? And then you have 5 of them that are news shows. And even now, that's kind of the perception of the everyday viewer. Right. Is, hey, this is what they're saying. But then you get to those news shows and they're interviewing somebody, and then you see their bias in there, and they start giving their opinion, and it quickly changes from, we're reporting the news, to, this is my opinion, and now we're in
it's always been show. There.
Well, and I would say, you know, it used to be pretty subtle, though. Now it's like right in your face, it feels like, because it's, you know, taking the bank robber, for instance, it used to be there is a bank robbery, male, about this age, whatever. Now it's, there was a bank robbery, a white, redheaded person, probably from this area. They're probably an Aryan Nation or a Nazi sympathizer. You know, I mean, they go into all these different labels now. So it just feels like things have changed, and that it's not so much just covering the story as it is. It's throwing in all these labels and all these extra things to make it feel like it's going in a certain direction, or it's a certain type of person, or something along those lines.
You know what I'd say if I robbed a bank right now? Huh. The first thing I'd say, my name's Josh. I am a white male wearing a black shirt and dark gray shorts.
Exactly.
But the ironic part about that is I've heard some outlets make it a point to not relay race.
Yeah.
And gosh, I, you know, dare we say somebody should assume somebody else's gender. But going back to the opinion on things and the soft speak and the code speak, it's gotten out of hand, you know, in my opinion. So there's that. And I don't know the history of media so much here. You know, I talked to a lot of guys that were, you know, here.
Because how long have you been in the media here?
For over 14 and a half years.
Okay.
And, but I mean, I have had the pleasure of, you know, being in the same room with Paul J. Schneider, who is a walking, talking encyclopedia, even, you know.
He's been around the block a few times.
Yeah. I mean, he's actually one of the few people that's older than you. So, you know, he's been there. No, I mean, there was a reel, to go off on a tangent, but there was a reel that was found somewhere and nobody had any idea who was on the reel. Paul J. looks at it in 3 seconds. I mean, he's like, oh, Sam Donaldson, who was not the one that we know from ABC, but another guy that was here named Sam Donaldson, talking about the tunnels underneath Boise.
Oh.
And it, just fantastic stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Willie D's Premium Atlantic Dolphin Meat. When it comes to dolphin meat, there's a lot of choices on the market.
Yes, there are.
But the thing you need to ask yourself is this fresh cut Atlantic dolphin meat? And in many cases, the dolphin meat that's available online is farm dolphin meat. And gross, right? Because what they do is they feed those dolphins low grade fish, right?
Not organic.
Not organic. When they shoot the dolphins with the spear, they've got a patented poison that actually causes an epileptic seizure, and then the dolphin dies peacefully in its sleep.
That's much kinder. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to have the best dolphin meat available on the market, go to willydsdolphinmeat.com.
Did your kids love that box?
Absolutely.
I know. We stuck it on the Traeger. They ate every bite.
Yeah. Yeah, and they actually have two ways that you can get it. So, of course, they have it canned, their premium canning. And then the other one, they actually do the preserve where they do the actual canning and make it to where this dolphin meat has a shelf life of like 25 years.
Yeah, it's great for emergency preppers.
Yep. So if you're an emergency prepper, you want to check them out as well.
But one of the things I remember from late 70s, early 80s, and it goes beyond that, was the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, and it was an announced commentary. It had the big banner, it had the big block letters, and, you know, the guy that was telling you what was going on where now had an opinion about, you know, so on and so forth. And Cleveland had theirs. That's, you know, where I grew up. Dorothy Foldheim was one of them, and Judd Hambrick was another, and, you know, so many of these other names that really you don't care about. But, you know, the opinion was always there.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the delivery of it. Maybe it was the nuance that has changed. And, you know, you're making fun of people who once upon a time, or at least the titles that once upon a time used to be respected, now the brazen behavior of some anchors, TV anchors, is, wow, you can just tell they don't even respect the human being. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what the story is, just tell me what the story is so I can form my own opinion as to whether or not I scoff. But you already did. Your eyes are already rolling. So now my eyes are going to roll. Now I'm, mm-hmm. you know, it's that psychological link that, you know, that unconscious psychological link. Oh gosh, he's right. That was stupid. Jeez, now I see what he did. So,
do you think there's a lot of influence that's coming into that though? I mean, do you think over the time that you've been here in this state that the media has changed? Has it changed? Has it become more politicized? Where do you see it?
Well, I think we've become more politicized. I don't know if we became that way because of the media or if the media reflects it. There's always going to be that argument. Mm-hmm. But as far as where it's coming from, I don't know. I don't know because I think a lot of people, audience, those who aren't in media, they make an assumption that when I go on air, somebody is telling me how I feel about an issue and they're telling me how to cover it. And they're telling me that I'm for it because, you know, we're led to believe that there is, there are actually, boogeymen out there, whether it's the Soroses or the Koch brothers or whomever, Ted Turner or whomever,
sure.
Somebody is somewhere telling Shellman in Boise, Idaho, what he needs to talk about and how he needs to talk about it and the direction he talks when the reality is that actually isn't true. And I cannot speak for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to go ahead and guess that a number of the people that, you know, whether they're DJs or radio or TV, that I would hope their management isn't saying, you need to go after this person, or you need to be against this piece of legislation, or you need to take this story in that direction. I would hope the person comes up with that for their own reason, which then begs the question, well, what's influencing them? You know, is it, do they want to be cool? Do they actually feel this way? You know,
well, because I watched a video just the other day, it had a bunch of different, and I've seen one that was done like this a while back ago, but it shows a bunch of different media outlets from all over the United States, and they're all repeating the same taglines, right?
Right.
And so there was a new one that just came out just the other day, and it's showing the same exact thing. So it's different locations, different news sources, and they're saying the exact same thing. A lot of it had to do with January 6th, but using the same verbiage, same everything. It was just kind of interesting.
It's so package prep, okay? And I can actually explain some of what that is. You guys all know what the AP is, Associated Press. That's all over the country.
Yeah.
And certain media outlets have something like that with
I've been in there before. They've written stories about me.
Well, for everybody else who doesn't know everything, if I can go ahead and finish. So you had to have us on at the same time, didn't you?
Look, she was the first to reach out to you.
I know. Thanks.
Because I get a lot of questions about
anyway,
this. So go ahead. Sorry.
All right, Miss Know-It-All, if you can, go ahead. Some of us make a living in this industry. So they have these packaged products, and she's really going to beat me with her car after this.
Yeah.
And we have services, we have production services, and we make promos. Okay, 30-second promos. And the music's the same. The voiceover of the guy's the same. And the clip for, oh gosh, Ben Shapiro or Dan Bongino is the same. And all the station has to do is just put in their, you know, their call letters or their positioner or whatever. When you have stations that are, I don't know if they're made to use it. I know they can use it. So just because it's the same doesn't mean it's biased, because we all read Peanuts. Right? Yeah. Once upon a time? Or Calvin
and Hobbes.
That's
a comic strip. Yeah, comic strips.
You know, same thing. I read the same comic strips you guys read as little kids in Boise that I read in Cleveland, Ohio.
Sure.
So, it's the same message. It's a package message. Yeah? We've been going through this for a while. Now we just know about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But do you think it's something where, I mean, I think there's a lot of distrust in the media right now.
Sure.
And there has been. Mm-hmm. And do you feel that is, I mean, do you understand why?
Yes.
What do you think your thoughts are on that?
I think, well, I mean, you're asking somebody who's a commentator.
Right.
So
I'm hoping you know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I just have an opinion on it.
Sure. Okay.
And because I have people who like what I have to say, and I have people who can't stand what I have to say. You know, I get called the same names. I've actually had the opportunity to twice be in the press circle during a Trump rally when, you know, he talks about the fake news and the fake media. And, you know, I'm just, you know, Schleppy McGillicuddy from Boise, Idaho, who's got a press pass. I'm feeling pretty important right now. But I'm on the same stage as CNN and, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and all them. And, you know, it's hard because I'm an only child as well. And that explains a lot. We're gonna have at it, but there is a part of me that does take it personally. Wait a second! I'm not doing the same things. I'm not, you know, none of you even know who I am, you know. So, I understand. To answer your question, I do understand why, because I think there have been, I think there have been accidents, and I think there have been deliberate actions to create a narrative, paint a narrative that didn't exist. Okay. And gosh, do we have any footage of that? No. Find me the hospital footage from something else and we'll run it and we'll make COVID look really bad.
Yeah.
You know, it was already bad enough, right? I mean, you didn't have to pour more syrup on that story to make it bad, but tell me what you're showing me is real and having to do with that. So the cool thing is, and you don't need me to lecture you, the more you do this and the longer you do this, all right, the trust is fun to build, but we all can lose it just like that. Yeah. You know it in politics.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you guys, it's not just media. People can turn on anybody for anything, and then the whole lot of you are bums. So, you know, you hear it all the time when people say, just, you know, whoever's holding office now, throw them all out.
Right.
You know, yeah. Well, wait a second. You've held office now for
4 years.
4 years. Yeah, it seems so much longer.
I know.
So, but you know what I mean? So, you know, it's the same message mm-hmm. with the same angst. And I almost think the same motivation to a degree.
And do you think that's where the distrust comes in, though? Is this the perspective that people see or the because there's a whole, what I find interesting and going back to Trump is when he started utilizing those labels, those terms of misinformation and lamestream media and all that sort of stuff. There seemed to have been a awakening of people like Josh or independent mm-hmm. reporters or citizen reporter, you know, things along those lines that popped up. And that seemed to have been happening over the last probably decade and becoming more so. Mm-hmm. Even here in Idaho, you know, we've had different media sources that are more independent media, mm-hmm. like Idaho Dispatch and Dem State Patriot. Yeah, different places like that have popped up because they don't feel that media is being reported in a right way, or that it's gotten so,
in their opinion,
or it's gone so far left.
I will tell you, somebody in the media, the hardest thing to do is to tell somebody else that what they think, what they believe, isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
know, sure.
Yeah. But if somebody has a preconceived notion, they are going to listen to somebody who will validate them.
Yeah.
And I find it difficult because, hey, I'll be the first one to tell all of you here, there was a lot of fantastic things that went on during the Trump administration. However, I will not deify St. Donald J. Trump of Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Okay. I won't do it because I existed before 2016. And, you know, if you went through the 80s, we knew what a character he was. You know, if you watched the TV show, you knew what a character he was. And that's if you didn't read any of the other business sections before then or talk to anybody from Atlantic City before he ran for office.
Sure.
You know, so he has a history of calling in and being a self-promoter. I mean, calling in under a fake name and doing it. So, you know,
being on the WWF.
Yeah. Honestly. And that's part of that is part of the self-promotion. Yeah. And I think he learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
Especially seeing how a lot of the rallies went. So, you know, where you have the signs and you have the chants, and I mean, I've never been to anything like that. I've sat fourth row at a Kiss concert. All right. And when somebody says you're going to a political rally, wow, that's gotta be great. And it's like, I thought it was going to be kind of boring. Nope.
I've been to a Trump rally. It was fun.
Yeah. So now, but to go back as far as, well, you know, the technology overall is going to lead to a larger breadth of media. You know, we didn't have iPods once upon a time. And then we had iPods, which led to the podcast. You know, we all of us here remember a time where we didn't have internet. And I don't know how we lived. We didn't even know what Wi-Fi was. Again, the Stone Age. But now we can watch anything on our phone. Now we don't even need cable.
Yeah.
Let alone satellite. Now we can watch cat videos at a moment's notice. Or last night's news or news right now. On a number of sites that we also need to be reminded that we use, but we don't own.
Right.
You know, just because you're holding your phone doesn't mean you own everything in it. No, you sign your life away to Facebook. You sign your privacy away to Twitter and everybody else because they're granting you the access and they've come up with all this stuff. So the assumptions that are made on a lot of people, I understand the frustration because I've said Vegas. All right. Or I say shoes. And somewhere in the next half hour, I'm going to be inundated with shoe advertising.
I have had that happen.
That's freaky to me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm probably sure because I don't want to read fine print because it's really difficult to do that while driving and eating my dolphin sandwich that I gave away. I hope I didn't ruin that.
No. That
I gave away, you know, use of my microphone and use of my location because, wow, I really want to play Angry Birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny to me is there's a lot of people who are like, no, I'm not doing a DNA test. They're going to get my stuff. I'm like, dude, if you don't realize, like I do advertising, right? I do a lot of targeted advertising. If you don't realize that everything you've ever said, done, or even spoken of is available for me to purchase. This episode is brought to you by Faith Outdoors. Faith Outdoors is more than a gun store. It is an education hub spot Whether you are a first-time gun buyer, an experienced shooter, or a long-range shooter, Faith Outdoors can help you find what you need to be as efficient as possible. Their staff is some of the most experienced in the Treasure Valley and is made up of retired law enforcement officers and firefighters. Faith Outdoors also is an official dealer of Benchmade knives. Everything sold in store are items they recommend and use out in the field. So go visit them today, 2200 Cortland Place in Nampa, Idaho.
And you know what I love about Mandy and Nate? Their whole family, they're prayer warriors. So if you need prayer, they are happy to pray for you. Just email them at info@faithoutdoorsid.com.
Small businesses are the lifeblood of our economy. 2 in every 3 jobs are created by a small business. They support our local schools, charities, churches, and more. This is exactly why we love to help small businesses grow. Our custom-tailored solutions allow all facets of your marketing to work in a symbiotic way, helping you increase revenue. From web design to social media marketing, from local search engine optimization to managing your online reviews, our custom solutions are built for you. Visit us today at silohillweb.com.
You're listening to What's Happening Idaho, the Rhino Slayers. Now, back to your hosts, Josh and Kirsten.
You're out of your mind. Like, a DNA test is not going to change anything.
Well, yeah. Your phone's collecting a type of DNA.
Well, what's even more fantastic is how much do you think that information is worth? All the information of Josh. You already know the cost, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know the specific number.
Okay.
$5.
What do you think it is? Go ahead. Kristen, what do you think all the information about where you shop, where you've been, what your birthday is, your address, your phone number, your age, your political, we've all taken over.
Affiliation.
She actually fell asleep.
I'm thinking thousands of dollars.
You think thousands of, yeah. give me more specific.
$7,500.
You Googled it, didn't you?
No.
Okay. How much do you think your information's worth?
I think I'm worth about $5.
Okay. Josh?
What makes that an interesting question is it would depend on who's buying it.
That's great. Give me a number.
Are they buying everybody's at once?
Mm-hmm. They don't sell one person.
Yeah, then it's a lower cost. It would lower the cost, I think, about $2.
Try 12 cents.
Well, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Try 12 cents.
Yeah.
But we also have a self-inflated sense of self.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, I just know my husband was in targeted marketing, and he would send an email and it would track you without cookies and it knew right where you're going, how long you were spending. And the end user thought that was pretty valuable, but that was back in 2002.
But that was the end user. So that's the customer.
Yes.
See, so when I buy ramen, I think I'm getting a great deal for buying ramen for $1 because wow, it's cheap. But that package of ramen noodles is only 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. or you know, what is it now? $3 today, but whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
with inflation.
We have this self-inflated sense, and it is, you know, gosh, my information's valuable. No, it's not. Sorry. That's why. So when I say you really don't care how I think or how I feel or blah, 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 you know, part of that's humility. And we see it today with kids. We see it today with a new generation. You want me to work at McDonald's? Sure. I'll work at McDonald's for $15, $16.
17.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody, all of us are looking at that person go, what? I don't make that now. What do you?
Yeah.
Sorry, back in our day. And then, you know, we get to go and be old, just like our parents were. So
do you think we're inundated with too much information?
That's relative.
Or do you think there's so much information out there now that it's hard to decipher what's actually real information, what's actually not?
Fact versus opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest thing to do is fact versus opinion, real versus fake. You know, I there are people who like to put out. We talk about all this information, by the way, and that's actually part of the genesis behind fake news sites, trolling sites. It's not that they want you to spread a narrative. They want you to click on right. their website, go to their website,
clickbait.
Because the second you go there, now they have your cookies, now they have your info, you know, so
your milk, everything, yeah.
And it's not just political. It's happened with recipes. It's happened with kids' cartoons. You know, those of us politicos, we think, oh, they're just after us. No, they're after everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we're biting on the political line, but I actually had somebody troll me on a, oh gosh, it was a Instapot recipe.
Hmm.
I was like, wait a second. And I,
they trolled you how? How did they?
Well, it was the same kind of pop-up ads I was getting.
Okay.
You know, when somebody posts, you know, hey, the View settled with the kid from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Kyle.
When, by the way, no.
No, not Kyle.
No, they hadn't settled.
Right. It's a fake story.
But I've seen that picture and that screenshot so many times. You go, well, somebody's out there trying to spread that narrative and spread that hate and spread. No, actually, what that person's really trying to do is get all your information.
Yeah.
And
it's clickbait.
Now there's somebody like me in the media that has to go, well, is that even true?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to click on this. Great. Sorry.
On that note, I mean, just what you just said, is that becoming harder, do you think, for media people to be able to?
I think it's becoming harder for everybody to do it.
Right.
You
know, so
when
how
somebody
do you...
puts out something there, when somebody shares that, I've had this discussion with a number of people. When somebody puts out something that they put out for discussion purposes, you know, and they share it, they put it on their page, it is, you know, depending on who they are to their circle of influence, that lends a gravity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, if I put out something, right, maybe it doesn't have too much gravity. But, oh gosh, if State Representative Tammy Nichols puts something, puts the same headline out there, you know, wow, hold on, she's a state rep. Same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, now we've both lent our names to it.
Yeah.
And they both could be bogus.
Yeah.
But we thought it was nice. We thought something could use more looking into or more attention when we actually do validate it by posting it. But it is difficult because most people only absorb news now through headlines and sound bites.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me is when you said, well, even you're media. Up until today, I've never thought of this as media, mm-hmm. even though it is. Like, yeah. We know logically we're putting media out there for people, but I don't think of this as
mainstream.
As being, well, no, definitely not mainstream. But
Wrong. Wrong.
Well, podcast.
Your podcast is a mainstream media.
It is. You're right. But
congratulations. Welcome to the board.
you know what's funny is as soon as Dorothy and won and we had a bunch of conservative wins, I wanted to post the picture, the meme from the movie with Tom Hanks where he's a boat captain. You know, when the Nigerians like, look at me, I'm the captain.
Yeah.
I want to say, look at me. I'm the establishment now. But, you know, when it comes to that, you know, I've been very clear. I've made it abundantly clear on the show multiple times that I am biased. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not a fair and balanced show. This is mine, my guests, and whoever is on here. This is our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And people can either come here to try and get a perspective that may be different than theirs or validation of their opinions.
Well, because I know that's why Idaho Dispatch started is because they felt that there wasn't media out there that was reporting fair and balanced, that there was always a very strong bias.
No, there's a media out
bias.
There that claims they're fair and balanced.
Oh, everybody's going to claim they're fair and balanced, right? But as far as what the public was saying, and so I know they've strived really hard to try to keep things to where they keep all the bias out as much as they possibly can and just give the information, let the viewer decide. But I mean, it's hard too. I think that's a hard thing to try to
can
do.
Can I be ridiculous? Mm. Okay. So I'm going to give you just one cool example of, and I'm going to turn it right back around on her. No, because when people talk into a microphone or when people present something, people, you know, the assumption is, oh, you're being told to say that. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you listening to this right now, none of you actually know that Tammy right now, truth, hand to God, is wearing a ID2A hat. So we were supposed to have video, but I tripped on something and broke. I didn't mean to do it. Sorry. So did Tammy bring up Greg Pruitt and Idaho Dispatch because, gosh, she just used it as an example that was on the top of her head? Or is she being paid to say that? Or
No.
Here's the thing. The reality is I get to have this discussion with him in a bar or him at a table, and you don't, the reality of life is you don't get to answer. You know, we just get to cast aspersions and ask a bunch of leading questions. Now, I'm going to go ahead and guess. I don't know Tammy's cold, dark heart, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that knowing Greg, being cheap as he is not paying Tammy to say any of this.
Actually, I give him money for
so, you know, you can be a fan of something you can, and, you know, just because something's not the top of your mind. Well, gosh, why did you feel that way? How do you feel that way? I've spent the past 2 days saying, you know what? Hey, I have questions about Trump getting raided, right? Mm-hmm. However, I'm not going to say Trump is innocent.
Right.
I'm not going to say that because
well, let's
that's
kinda,
a leap.
I do want to kind of talk about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, and as you just stated, Mar-a-Lago was raided. And part of it, from my understanding, and you guys correct me if you've read different headlines that may or may not be false and misleading,
right,
is that essentially there were documents from his time as president that were claimed that he had. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, that's fine. Here's the couple things that kind of bring issue to me. We look back at the Clinton administration, and they took a lot of furniture and things out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And what they sent in was they essentially sent in a records auditor to go in and look and say, hey, this actually belongs to us and it's missing.
Right.
We need it returned.
Right.
They didn't do that with the FBI. The other part is Trump has claimed that they would not show his attorney the, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank.
What is the warrant?
The warrant. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And they would also not allow his attorney to witness it, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Repeat what you just said.
Trump claims.
Okay.
Yeah, Trump claims that they would not furnish the warrant and provide it to his attorney, and that his attorney was not allowed.
They obviously broke the law. They broke the law. They broke the law. Trump said so.
Yeah.
Papa Smurf said.
Yeah.
By the way, none of us, to my knowledge, none of us in this room
were actually there
at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Right. Nor are we on Trump's legal team. Shake your head in front of a microphone one more time.
I don't think I was
okay,
there.
Okay, good. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So, I do this tour in studio. How do you feel about that?
It's you mean radio. You can't see me?
So, yeah, I've heard the same things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and no, you're right. And that's why I said Trump claimed as the lead.
So the news, the reporting of that is not fictitious. If Donald Trump is saying that his lawyers were not given a warrant, that his lawyers were not allowed in the room, that his lawyers were not there, you know, that story is factual because all that's being reported is Trump said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to look at the different media sources that are out there and how, for instance, this whole thing with the raid on Mar-a-Lago is being reported. And you can tell that there is definitely a fracture, you know, that's happening.
Just drooling.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy. And the night and day. It's like night and day.
Yeah. Well, and it does seem like, and again, this could be my bias in how I'm viewing things.
I can't stand the argument, by the way.
Which one?
The one, the comparison you were making. I can't stand
which one?
Between the Clintons and the.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or even no, the servers or Hunter Biden's things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have, do you have kids?
Oh yeah. Tons of them.
Okay. Well, Tammy's got like, I don't know, a whole busload. Yeah. So I don't, I know how many times I was told, well, just because somebody else did it doesn't mean you can do it.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure you never said that to any of
never,
your kids. Right.
Ever.
Well, so-and-so did it. How come I'm getting in trouble? Mm-hmm. They didn't get in trouble. Whether or not it should be done or whether or not it was done.
Right.
And how it's handled is all up to which officer you're speeding, you know, in front of. Speeding's illegal. We all know this, right? I've gotten a ticket. You've gotten a ticket. Your Highness?
I've never gotten a speeding ticket.
Okay. However, I've also been pulled over, told I was going too fast, and was let off with a warning.
Right.
And now somebody else driving by who was pulled over a week ago is going to look at me and say, white guy didn't get a ticket. Wow, must be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
Can't control everything.
Right. No, that's fair.
No, but the way it's being reported, you can definitely tell that there is different types of reporting styles going on.
Yeah.
Depending on who it is, who's reporting it. I mean, CNN versus Fox News are going to report
the same thing.
Well, sure, but it's just interesting to see the variation that occurs depending on who it is.
They all of everybody. everybody, every TV station, every network, everybody wants more Trump. Ratings were sky high, and to a point, because a lot of us were locked in our homes for a while. But Trump does equal ratings. He's a charismatic guy. All right, he's a polarizing guy. You don't know anybody that doesn't have an opinion on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've never met anybody go, "Hey, what do you think about Trump?" Who?
Yeah,
what?
Everybody knows who he is.
No, you love him or hate him. There's nowhere in between.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct.
So they'll report on what he ate for breakfast if they get desperate enough, and depending on the bias of their, say, if it's MSNBC, how dare he kill a pig and eat bacon? Or if it's Fox News, no one's ever held a piece of bacon better than Donald Trump has.
Yeah.
So, you know, either way, they're going to still talk about it.
I have to tell you, my favorite Donald Trump thing of all time, right? Because there's a lot of funny stuff he's done that was unintentional or intentional.
Uh-huh.
My favorite one to this day is a tweet he put when he was still not president. And it was after they were trying to attack him, saying, "Donald Trump hates Mexicans." And he takes a photo of him eating a taco salad and says, "Taco salads at, you know, Trump Hotel are amazing. I love the Mexican people."
He it trolls was, very well.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant to be a troll. Probably not. Trying to be endearing and say, "Hey, look, I love the Mexican people," but his way of showing that he supported him was by eating a taco salad.
Yeah, yeah. No, he does it well, even if he's not intentionally doing it. So let me ask you a question in regards to who do you trust then? I mean, who do you look to for information, Nate?
Josh. I look to Josh.
You look to Josh?
I look to Josh. I've always looked to What's Happening Idaho podcast for years now. I mean, decades. And
obviously before, you know, I used to send him the recordings only. Yeah. Very exclusive.
Oh, yeah. They used to be on cassette. Yeah.
Ah.
Once upon a time. It was on his Play School recorder. Nice. No, you know what? You look at everybody. And I look at as many as I can.
Yeah.
Time is of the essence, you know, because I feel like once upon a time we just went through and we read the paper and, you know, we watched the TV and we listened to the radio and that was it. And then somewhere in that day, we read the paper, watched the TV, listened to the radio, and went on the website. Now we watch the TV for a second, read the paper for maybe a second, or the online version, listen to the radio for a second, go online, thumb through our phone while we're driving, just to get a glimpse of the 500,000 headlines that are out there. You know, Drudge is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. You know, Drudge, in my opinion, led the way as far as news reporting goes, because he took the time to put as many headlines on one screen possible.
Sure.
I don't know anybody that clicks on every single one of those headlines.
Yeah.
But there's something for everybody.
But you peruse the headlines because you don't have time and go, "Ooh, I saw that story." No, you didn't. You saw the headline.
Yeah,
because we've become very surface oriented information people. I mean,
we don't have time.
We don't dive into things anymore like we used to. Like reading the newspaper took time, right?
Sure.
That took time. That took effort. And we don't do that anymore. We have we've become very surface oriented in gaining information, because now a lot of the information you just catch from the headline or the subheadline, and that's as far as you get. You don't even read into the article. I think that's why, you know, a lot of our newspapers are not doing very well anymore. They have lost their membership. They've lost their viewership. They don't have the subscriptions that they used to have, because everybody does just go to the internet. And if there's a paywall, you just find another source or another way to get around it instead of having to take all that time and effort to try to get into it.
Media fractured itself.
Speaking of paywall, I want to interrupt real quick to let people know we are on Patreon. So we have it to where you can support the podcast and videocast now. And the great thing about that is a lot of times we have it to where we have conversations that are in-depth, fun, behind the scenes. That is behind, of course, that paywall. The only thing we ask, because as you know, we're not paying ourselves with the podcast, we only ask that you make a monthly donation of $6.99. There's a couple different options. We'll have the link in the podcast.
I don't know if I have anything else to add.
Well, I do want to ask you one more thing before you leave.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for you and what you do.
I'm sorry.
I don't care how you feel. Don't care how you
do. Facts don't care about your feelings.
But I truly enjoy your show. I love the banter that you have with people. I love how you snap and clap back at people and all that stuff. It's really fun to listen to. The question I have is you obviously know about what's happening in Idaho. You're here right now. Mm-hmm. What feedback would you have for me and Kirsten?
You know what? Have a purpose. Don't take yourself too seriously, which obviously you're going to have a problem with. But the cool thing about this for me, and I've said this for a while, I have a passion that I didn't know I had when I was a kid, you know, being in radio, and that's it. I'm just in radio. Okay. I call myself a monkey with a microphone for a reason, because, actually it's a name that I took from somebody else, who I won't mention. However, it is born out of humility that this is just a really, really, really cool thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have the same job. All right. I'm not better than you because I'm on a broadcast station. I could take live calls. No, we're doing the same job, man. And, you know, understand that you're a part. You know, I don't know if you've taken time to realize this, because up until a moment ago, you didn't realize you were part of media or mainstream media even. Mm-hmm. But this is also one of the most intimate forms of media. Okay.
Yeah.
It really is. And I'm humbled by the time, the fact that anybody takes any time, whether it's a second, just to call me a name and turn me off. That's still, you know, wow. All right. You're in the car, you're at home, you're at work. They can call you up. They can email you. You can respond to them. I still remember the story from when I first, gosh, it was within the first 5 years I was here. Guy called me on a Friday, Rant and Rave Friday, and his rave was his wife had just given birth. Not that day, 10 minutes earlier.
Mm.
He went outside the hallway and called me to, wow, like, that to me was probably the biggest compliment anybody could ever pay.
Yeah.
Me. Because, and I yelled at him for it. He was like, wow, I'm glad your wife just gave birth. Hang up the phone. Go hold your kid. Go be with your wife, you know, or before you're looking for another both, you know. So, you know, be true to yourself, right? There's an edge. And, you know, we all push the edge. I push the edge. You push the edge. Representative, you push the edge as well, you know, there's an obligation to the edge, because understand that wherever you go and you set that new boundary, understand we do have an obligation to our audience to want what's best for them. Now, just because you want to jump out of an airplane and catch somebody else's parachute doesn't mean you want everybody else to do it.
Right.
You know, so, and that's, you know, it's fun to be the Pied Piper. It's fun to be the carnival barker. It's fun to be the heel or the baby face, if we're using wrestling terms. It's fun to be that central point of contact. But understand, there are people, and you may not intend on this to happen, but if you do it well, it will. They'll follow you wherever you go, and they will do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Uncle Ben said it best, with great power comes great responsibility. That you have that responsibility to everybody who takes time to click.
Yeah.
That, hey, I can't wait to hear what Josh has to say. Now, they're putting their faith in you. And they're going to say, is Josh going to tell me what Josh is thinking? Or did Josh sell himself out and we didn't even know it? You know, is Josh trying to lead us? Is Josh, you know, if you are biased, tell me what your bias is.
Yeah.
You know, if you're biased on an issue, why is that bias? I'm biased on the number of things that are COVID, because my dad, unfortunately, through my, no matter what I wish, he will always be a statistic of that, you know? And so I hear a lot of people say it's fake, and I stood in a room once upon a time, and in a senior home with a lot of personal effects, and they had all passed of that. Mm. So Well, you don't know. You weren't there. Okay, you're right. You're right. So just make sure you have fun.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It really is.
We're fortunate. You know, actually, one of our biggest supporters, this is going to surprise you, is Terry Malarkey. He was our first Patreon supporter.
Awesome.
So
who is this?
This is somebody who's not a fan of Tammy Nichols for sure.
Okay.
Deep down, he is.
He would describe himself as the establishment, and he would describe me as what I don't think he would describe me, but he'd describe everybody else as
tool.
John Birchers, sure. And, you know, libertarians coming in. But, you know, with me, it's one of those things that we treat each other with respect. We don't agree on everything, but he listens, and that's cool. That's to me, is one of the greatest compliments I get, is nobody saying anything, just knowing that he's like, hey, I listen. And he actually listens to every episode.
Cool.
So it's cool.
And I would, you know, be careful of the label. Be careful of the label.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you know, you're right.
Like, enemy. I disagree with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I could, gosh, you know who I miss? I miss Dave Beater. I miss him too.
I don't even live in Boise.
A lot of people do.
But Dave Beater used to come to our studios once a month and talk about what was going on.
Yeah.
And listen, the man didn't live in a shell, right? I mean, he didn't live in a cave. He knew exactly what people thought of him.
Sure.
And he still came.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome. And there was that respect that you know, well, gosh, why would I even go there? They don't like me. They don't this. Well, we never hated him, you know? And gosh.
But at least he came.
Yeah. Right. One of the last times I saw him, you know, he was about to go on camera, and we have donuts. By the way, thanks. You'll make it one day when they have donuts delivered. But he had a whole bunch of powdered sugar. And I was like, hey, dude, before you go on camera, you got powdered sugar. And I was like, oh, wow. He was like weirded out that I would take the time to say, hey, dude, you know, felt like his dad at that point. But hey, you know, just go ahead.
Make
just,
sure he was presentable.
There you go. Put your mittens on. You're good. Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you look good for the camera. Uh-huh. So, but anyway, have fun with it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Nate Shellman, for coming
for
on.
Coming on.
Just Nate. Why did you guys say my first and last name?
What's your middle name?
No.
Social security number.
It's out, listen, you got 12 cents. It's out there. Okay. I mean, it's not that important.
Yeah. Well, grab a can of dolphin meat on your way out. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Thank you again. We appreciate you all. Take care.
You've been listening to What's Happening Idaho.
Idaho's conservative voice.
If it's happening on the right, we're talking about it. And if it's happening on the left, we're laughing about it. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. You can hear the show on every major podcast site and find out more about us at the website at www.idahospodcast.com. See you next time on What's Happening Idaho.